Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "You have a friend in Jesus." That is indeed a comforting thought, that I have a friend in Jesus. Because to have a friend in Jesus is to have a friend in God. Jesus is the Son of God. Last week on our program, we talked about what it means to have a friend in Jesus. We contrasted our earthly friends with having Jesus as a friend. Now, this is not to minimize the importance of earthly friends. They are indeed important. But there is no earthly friendship that is comparable to that of having a friend in Jesus. Our earthly friends are limited in time and distance. They cannot always be there for us because of these limitations. But God is not so limited. God is always there. Also, our earthly friends don't always listen so well. They may be distracted or in a hurry. But that is not true of God. He always listens. And He never gets tired of our coming. If we come to Him 100 times in a day, He never tires of our coming. We mentioned last week that sometimes earthly friends change, and some may even forsake us. But in our God, we have a friend who does not forsake. And also, Jesus did for us what no earthly friend could have done. He died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins so we can be saved from our sins. Indeed, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus, as we sometimes sing. But do you have a friend in Jesus? Are you a friend of Jesus? Who are the ones who are the friends of Jesus? Well, in John chapter 15, verses 13 through 14, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. But notice verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So who are the friends of Jesus? Jesus says, "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you." Sometimes I think we get the idea that Jesus is everybody's friend. You can live any way you want to. You can disregard His words, live however you want to live. But if a crisis comes in your life, you can call upon Jesus because He's your friend. Well, that is not what Jesus is saying here. He gives a condition if we are to be His friend. He says, "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you." Well, this suggests three things. First of all, as we mentioned last week, if I want Jesus as my friend, I must accept an authoritarian religion. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you." I know we would like to have a religion where we could go through the Bible and pick and choose what we like and then discard the rest. Well, that might be nice in some ways, but that is not how we have Jesus as a friend. If you want to have Jesus as your friend, you must obey whatever He commands you. You must accept His authority in all things. But then the second thing that this suggests is if I want Jesus as my friend, I must accept a primitive religion. Think with me. What makes us a friend of Jesus? Well, He says, "You are my friend if you do whatever I command you." Well, where do I find the commands of Jesus? Well, we find the commands of Jesus in the writings of the apostles and prophets of the first century A.D. What I want to show is that the apostles that Jesus chose and sent out in the first century were commissioned by Jesus to make known His words, His teachings. I want to show that Jesus speaks to us today through the writings of the apostles and the prophets of the first century. These are the words of the New Testament scriptures. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said to the apostles in John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Also in John 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus said to the apostles, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The apostles then were promised the Holy Spirit who would guide them in their teachings, so that what they taught, whether spoken or written, would be the very words of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when they would teach, it would be as though Jesus was teaching himself. Now this promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit did come upon the apostles, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Read Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. What they then spoke were the very words of Jesus. This is the reason the Apostle Paul could say to the Corinthians, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. Therefore, to reject the words of the apostles is to reject Christ himself. To receive the apostles is to receive Christ and the Father. Jesus said to the apostles in John 13, verse 20, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Now, there were also prophets other than the apostles in the first century who were given the Holy Spirit to guide them in their teaching. These men and women received the gift of prophecy by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Read Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. And so the apostles and prophets, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, revealed the words of Christ. This is the reason Paul could say in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, that the mystery, that which had been hidden, was now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And Paul says here that he has written it down in words, by which when you read, you may have my understanding in the mystery of Christ. So, Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all truth. This all truth that they would be guided into would be the words of Jesus. That promise was fulfilled. We now have this all truth preserved for us in the Scriptures, the Bible. Consequently, if we're going to be a friend to Jesus, we must do whatever He commands us. And if we're going to do whatever He commands us, then we're going to have to live by a standard that was written about 2,000 years ago by the apostles and prophets. You know, the church that we read about in the Bible was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2, verses 20 and 21 says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it says in Acts 2 and in verse 42. The early local churches were ordered by the instructions of the apostles. Thus, the directions given by the apostles to the local churches in the first century were binding, and they were uniform. Paul said to the church in Corinth, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. If we are to be the church that Jesus built, if we are to be the church that is a friend to Jesus today, we must also continue in the apostles' doctrine. It must be a church that is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We must then live by the standard that was revealed and written down in the first century A.D. Now, someone may be saying, "Surely the Lord does not expect us to live by some standard that's 2,000 years old." Well, the question is, do we want Jesus as our friend? If we do, then we must do whatever He commands us. And the only way He speaks to us is through the all truth that was revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets in the first century. Now, many times today, this teaching of our Lord is viewed as outdated by our modern way of thinking. For example, In Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6, Jesus has asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Well, Jesus' answer is that when a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, they become one flesh. God joins them together, and what God joins together, man is not to separate. He said in verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now, does this teaching of our Lord sound like modern thinking? Or does it sound primitive to you? Well, it sounds primitive, doesn't it? Someone might be thinking, surely the Lord doesn't expect us to live by that standard here in the 21st century. That's outdated. Well, the question again is, do we want Jesus as our friend? If we do, then we must accept His standard, whether the world around us views it as outdated or not. Some think that the Lord's teaching on homosexuality is outdated and must be discarded. Again, do we want Jesus as our friend? Well, if we want Jesus as our friend, then we must accept His standard, even though the modern world views it as obsolete. Well, we have mentioned that if we're going to be a friend to Jesus, we must accept an authoritarian religion, we must accept a primitive religion, and then thirdly, we must accept a self-sacrificing religion. Luke 9, verses 23 and 24 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. To be Jesus' friend, we must sacrifice all for him. Sometimes when sinners hear the good news of salvation through the death of Christ, they are touched by the story of Jesus, and they want the forgiveness of their sins. But then they hear that there is a sacrifice involved. You mean I would have to give up this? You mean I would have to do that? And when he begins to see there is a sacrifice involved, he doesn't seem to be as interested anymore. But Jesus was willing to give his life for you so that you can be saved from sin and go to heaven. Shouldn't you be willing to give your life in service to the one who gave his life for you? Paul put it this way, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. And the reward that comes to those who sacrifice all for Jesus is far greater than we can imagine. In Mark 10, verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. That's Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. Dear friends, you will never regret sacrificing all for Jesus, because when you do that, you have a friend in Jesus. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. Before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of topics, and you also are able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.